Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, we will be talking about running. And if you're like me, before you scoff or immediately write this episode off, we aren't talking about, you know, your typical 5 or 10K or even a marathon. We are talking about an event billed as the mother of all relays, and that is Hood to Coast.
That's right, Vicki. This is an annual event that draws runners from all over the world. It's a huge deal. The 40th Hood to Coast Relay just took place at the end of August, and one of our own colleagues here at the Oregonian Oregon Live actually ran it. So because I'm not a big runner, and Vicki, you've mentioned that you're not a big runner. So joining us here today to talk about all things Hood to Coast and the world of relay races is our engagement editor, Julie Evenson. Julie, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. You know, I always like to come on and talk about anything running related. It's one of my favorite topics.
Julie, I really don't know too much about Hood to Coast, so I'm wondering if you can just give us a general lowdown on what exactly it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it, like Jamie said in the intro, the 40th running of the race just happened at the end of August. It usually happens that last Friday and Saturday in August. And, you know, in 1982, for some reason, a bunch of Oregon runners decided that what they really wanted to do was run all the way from Timberline up near the top of Mount Hood, all the way to the Pacific Ocean at Seaside. And that's about a 200-mile run. The only way to do that is to, I mean, people can do it. There are ultra runners who could do something like that by themselves. But, you know, for most of us, the only way to do that is to be a team. And so the way that Hood to Coast is set up, and it's influenced the way that a lot of relays are set up, because it was one of the first, if not the first, which is why they call it the mother of all relays. You have a team of 6 to 12 people, depending on your stamina and how many miles you want to run. 12 is the more typical number of people. And, you know, it's kind of like a track and field, but much longer, where you're handing a baton off from runner to runner. And you do that for 200 miles, and it takes about 2 days, depending on how speedy your mile pace is.
Oh, my goodness. So I know that you're a pretty avid runner. How many times have you done Hood to Coast?
So I have done the original Hood to Coast, the relay in Oregon, 3 times. But Hood to Coast has gotten so popular that they have relays all around the world now. So I have done some of the other Hood to Coast relays as well, especially they have one up in Washington, on the Washington coast now. And I've done that one once. So I've done relays a few times now, and the original Hood to Coast I've done 3 times.
Wow.
Is this one of those events where you go in feeling like, oh, I really want to try to compete to get the best time? Or is it one of these ones where you're more like, I am just here for my own personal enjoyment, trying to do my personal best?
It really depends on you, and it depends on your team. You know, with most races, if you're not an elite runner, if you're not, you know, somebody who has competed in at the high school or college level, or even if you have and you're, you know, like me in your 40s and your competitive days are behind you, you know, you're usually setting a team goal. Everybody checks in with, you know, about what their average race pace is, and you can set a goal for yourself as a team of, you know, how many hours you want to take to finish. That said, I do have friends who have won in their in their groups. You know, it's age group and, you know, kind of masters or, you know, people who are under 30, men, women, and co-ed teams. So there's different groups that you can compete in. But I do, I do know people who have won and who have placed. That was a few years ago. I don't know that anybody I know is going to be repeating that anytime soon. But, you know, it kind of depends on how you're coming to this. It's a fundraiser for cancer research. That is part of the history of how this got started. It's sponsored by Providence Hospitals now. So the money that people are raising goes to cancer research. So people are motivated by a lot of different things. It's a unique race for a lot of people. It's a bucket list item, or they have a personal connection where they're raising money for a specific area of cancer research or a specific person. And that said, you don't actually have to run. There is a walking option for it's Portland to coast. You don't go all the way from the mountain. So it's a lesser mileage. You know, the distance is reduced by quite a bit, but there are a lot of people who walk it. And, you know, that's often to raise money for a cause or to bring awareness to something. So there's a lot of different reasons that people might do this. I did it the first time because I've run since middle school, and this was something that everybody always talked about, and I'd never done it. And I had a friend who needed somebody on their team because somebody got hurt and had to drop out. I did it, and it was crazy. And there are times when I questioned my sanity, and then I got to the end and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to do this again.
Yeah. Well, going off of that, I'm curious how people form their relay team. Do you have to know a big group? What if you're just a single runner and you don't know anyone? What do you do?
To run the Oregon Hood to Coast, like I said, they have events all over the world now. And the events outside of Oregon are a little bit easier to get a berth for. But for the original Oregon Relay, there is a lottery. It's pretty competitive. People, you know, there's a lot of interest in this. So, you know, and it's very old school. You fill out a paper form and you write a paper check and you send it in the mail. And it has to be postmarked by a certain date. And then they do a lottery in October, where they pick the field of teams, and it's, you know, X hundred number of teams or whatever the cap is. That's how a lot of people start. You know, they put their name into the lottery. Once you've run it once, you get a higher priority in the lottery. But a lot of people that I know, myself included, started out just putting themselves out there as, hey, if you need somebody, I'll be a backup for your team. And, you know, if somebody had a conflict or got injured, you can, you know, take that spot. And often, as you get closer to the relay, there are a lot of teams who need people because life happens. There is a Facebook page. And if you go to hoodtocoast.com, there's also a forum for teams, for runners who are looking for a team or teams who are looking for runners. So if you're, you know, if you're willing to spend 2 days with 11 other people that you've never met before, and you want a challenge, you know, you can get picked up by a team as a runner pretty easily.
Amazing. Julie, you made this sort of cryptic comment a minute ago about questioning your sanity. And I would love to hear more about that. I also know you said it takes usually a couple of days to complete this. How does that work? And I wonder if you could sort of tell us about sort of the logistics of this run.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, there's 12, usually 12 runners on a team. I think 6 is the minimum number you can have, because at that point, the mileage starts to get a little out of control. I don't know, maybe somebody's done it with 4 and that would be really impressive, but that's a lot of running and not a lot of sleep. So yeah, usually 12 people. You get set up in vans. You know, you need enough room for 6 people in each of 2 vehicles. You have a lead van and a second van. And you start up at Timberline, and your first runner, you know, runs. The legs tend to be between 4 and 8 miles. So, you know, and everybody kind of gets a series of runs that hopefully match up to their expectations and their ability. And as you go through your legs, you know, you get to what they call an exchange point, and the teams have a bracelet that also functions as a baton, and you hand it to the next runner, and then that runner runs and they hand off to the next person, and so on. When you get through the six people who are in your van, you do get a break. And so people will usually go and find, you know, somebody's house or a hotel or, you know, wherever it might be, somewhere along the route where they can take a break, grab a shower, take a nap, eat something. But after a few hours, you're back in the van and you drive to the next point where you're going to exchange with that second vehicle full of runners. I think the first start time this year, because they've expanded the time a little bit because to deal with crowding, which actually has been really helpful. I think the first start time for 2022 was at like 2:30 in the morning. Potentially you're running from, you know, 2:30 on Friday all the way through to some point during the day on Saturday. So you're running in the dark, you're running on roads. You know, you have to wear safety gear and, you know, a headlamp and a flashlight. And I have a vest that I ended up investing in a couple years ago because I wanted to be like extra safe. I've got one of those full vests that lights up like a disco, and it's got lots of options for, you know, what colors and, you know, it can blink or it can not, or, you know, so, but you know, that's an added level of safety. But there are definitely times when you're running up a hill in the Coast Range at like 3 o'clock in the morning with nobody else there. I've run with pepper spray a couple times, not because I'm concerned about people, but because you can hear creatures. You know, sure. I don't want to encounter a cougar at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's moments like that, but those are also like really powerful moments too. But definitely, you know, heading up a couple of those hills when it's dark out and you're tired and you've had 3 hours of sleep, it's like, oh, why would I do this? I'm never doing this again. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, well, yeah, you know, maybe I'll take a year off and then I'll do it again.
So, Julie, what segments did you run?
So this past year, I was in the first van. I was leg six. So that is, so everybody runs three times if you have a full team of 12. And so I ran coming off of Mount Hood into Sandy High School. And then I ran out near the Columbia County Fairgrounds, I believe. That was my middle of the night run. So it's all a little, and it was, my legs were extremely hilly. So I had a pretty, challenging set of runs. So my middle leg is a little bit fuzzy. Where was I? Yeah. Because it was dark and it was very hilly, but I believe we were out near the Columbia County Fairgrounds. And then my final leg was coming down out of that Mist and Jewel area in the Coast Range, which they were all great runs. I was really proud of the run into Sandy. That's a 7+ miler that is extremely hilly. You know, that's often a leg where people get into trouble because it's really long and it's really challenging. And I wore a hydration pack for the first time in a race ever, because it was warm and it was challenging and it was dusty. But that last leg coming, you go up one really, really nasty hill and then you come down into that Mist Jewel area, and it's beautiful, you know, coastal rainforest, and it was about 55 degrees and first thing in the morning, and it was pretty excellent. And actually at the end of that run, there's a sort of famous barbecue restaurant that opens for Hood to Coast, and they have bacon and Bloody Marys, and the staff dress up in inflatable pig costumes and come out and beckon you in for your bacon breakfast and your very large, very delicious Bloody Mary. So that's probably my favorite of all the times I've run Hood to Coast. I think that's probably my favorite leg. It was beautiful. A lot of it was downhill. I was able to do it really quickly, and there was bacon at the end.
Oh my God. I like the inflatable pig costumes. Is just like leaning into the feeling of losing your sanity. It's like something out of Twin Peaks right there.
Yes. Well, and they come out onto the road too with signs, and I've actually got some pictures I'll share with you guys, and it's like the unofficial finish line is their sign, and then there are gentlemen in inflatable pig costumes dancing in the parking lot beckoning you in with the smell of bacon, and it's pretty remarkable.
Wow.
I just can't imagine like rounding a corner or something, just like getting a whiff of the bacon. You're like, oh, I'm there. I'm here.
Yes. Yes. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, man. Well, I am so, so interested to find out how much training goes into this and just what type of preparation you had, Julie. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. We are coming back from our break. We are talking with Julie Evenson, our engagement editor here at The Oregonian, talking about Hood to Coast and what it was like running in this relay. So, Julie, tell me a little bit about the preparation and the training that goes into something like this.
So I think a lot of it depends on, you know, how much you run or, you know, which option you're taking. You know, like I said earlier, you can do a walking option. And that is very popular. A lot of people do that. And, you know, obviously you need to prepare for that as well. But the total mileage that you run is, for people who regularly run long distance, is not terribly high. The challenge with Hood to Coast is the kind of endless nature of it for a couple of days. You know, you're sleeping in a van, or if you're lucky, you're sleeping on a sleeping bag in a field somewhere, you know, close to the coast, but you're not quite sure where you are. And, you know, so there's a lot of action and then inaction and sleeping in strange places and, you know, not having a shower and using a lot of those sweat wipes and putting your clothes in Ziploc baggies in the back of a van and things like that. So some of it is mental and some of it is, you know, making sure that you don't cramp up and you, you stay loose and you get a little bit of rest when you can. I usually bring a portable muscle roller with me, and that's really helpful. And that got pretty heavy use in our van during this last run. So I think for people who have done this a lot, you know, if you have a good training program and you're running 7, 8, 9, 10 miles once a week anyway, you're set. I probably should have trained more on hills, that because my leg was very hilly. But I, you know, as Jamie and I have talked about on this very podcast before, I do a lot of my training on trails. So the terrain and things like that wasn't that challenging for me, but I probably should have run a few more hills during my prep. For people who've never done this before or who have, you've done other relays or, you know, other distance races, there are running clubs around the metro area for sure, but I'm sure around the state as well. Hood to Coast actually sponsors a training group. You can get information about that on their website. I believe both of those groups are in the suburbs, though. I think it's one of the West Side suburbs and then like Westland, Lake Oswego area. But there are running clubs all around the city. I know there's one in North Portland. I know there are a couple on the east side where you can join for free. And it's just a group of people who train together. And, you know, people have varying goals, but a lot of them do train for Hood to Coast. If you're, you know, if you sign up with a team early on and you know your team, a lot of teams will do team training. I was sort of added at the last minute to this team that I ran with in August. And I think we only had like one training run. So, you know, it just kind of depends, but there's a lot of resources out there. If you decide to do this and you want to train for it, you know, it's so huge. Lots of other people are doing it too. And you can go on to, you know, pretty much any runners forum and find a group of people to train with.
Julie, you mentioned like this big 2-day long excursion, Mount Hood to the Pacific Ocean. What I'm really curious about is what that feeling is like, you know, as an individual or as a team, once you're on that like last leg of the race, you're coming down, the ocean's in view, maybe you can smell the salt air. What is that experience like?
So I've actually run leg 12 a couple of times, which is the very last leg where you actually run down out of the foothills of the Coast Range into Seaside. And it is exhilarating. And then also there's a point where you realize that what looks like the finish line is not, and the finish line is still about a mile and a half away. So it's an amazing feeling when you do, you know, cross the finish line. It's a huge party. There's live music and there's a huge, there's a kind of a gate that you go through, and you know, you cross that finish line with your timing chip, but then your whole team will stage there and they call out your, you know, your runner team name. And so all 12 of you will go across the like official finish line together. And that's a fantastic feeling. That last leg though, mentally, is pretty brutal because you're, you know, you come down out of the hills and you cross through all of Seaside and you get to the boardwalk there and you think you're done and you actually have to run down the boardwalk for like another mile before you actually get to the finish line on the beach. But yeah, once you finish, it's amazing. You know, a lot of people will go jump in the ocean. I've never done that, but that's kind of a tradition. There's a giant beer garden, which is really fun. It's a big party. The first year that I ran it, my husband brought our daughter out to meet me at the finish line. And she was probably 3 or 4 at the time. And she had never seen a party that large. And it just blew her mind. She was like, people do this every year. You can do this every year, Mom. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so looking forward to Hood to Coast 2023. When do you know, Julie, when the deadline or the lottery day is? Because I know it's coming up, right?
So October 5th is the date that all of the entries need to be postmarked by. And then at that point, they'll start selecting teams and start notifying people if they have a bid for the 2023 relay.
So folks who might want to go ahead and do that can find information on hood2coast.com. And there's some lottery FAQ there that has the address to which you can send your physical paper application. Yes. And your paper check. I love that they still do that. That's great.
40 years of tradition, I guess.
Well, Julie, so I guess we got to ask, are you planning on doing Hood to Coast again next year?
Maybe. The team that I ran with, as a backup this last year, we had a really good experience. We actually had two runners on our team who were people that we found on the message boards because the team had some injuries. And, you know, they pulled in me and another friend of mine who were kind of friends of the people who'd put the team together. And then they found these other two women who were just newly transplanted to Portland, who were looking for a team to run with. They were both pretty serious runners. And we actually had a really great time. Like, it was that like lightning in a bottle, like a perfect mix of people. And so they sent out an email today and were like, well, let's maybe do this again next year. So I'm thinking about it. I would like to run with that group of people again. I've got to get over the hills. Like, I'm still, it's been several weeks and I'm still a little bit sore and stiff from those hills, but I'm pretty sure by the time I get over that, I'll be up for doing it again.
Well, hopefully it won't take you a year to get to recover from those hills.
So if people, maybe Hood to Coast seems a little out of reach for some people, what other relay races in the area are there? And are there any other ones that you're eyeing, Julie?
There are quite a few. You know, like I said, Hood to Coast was one of the first of its kind, but the concept of the relay has gotten really popular. And there are relays that, so Hood to Coast is a 2-day relay. And there are other options that are 1-day relays. So they're, you know, half or a little less than half of the distance that you cover on Hood to Coast. Like I was saying earlier, I've done Hood to Coast Washington before. That's in June. It's usually that first weekend in June. And my group that I ran Hood to Coast Oregon with, a couple of us were talking about maybe putting together a couple of teams to do Hood to Coast Washington. And that's a single day. It's 6 runners instead of 12, 70-ish miles. That's a lot more accessible for people who want to try this experience but haven't done it before and aren't sure how they feel about sleeping in a cow pasture, you know, and then getting up and, you know, running 7 more miles. That's on my radar. That's a really good one. And Hood to Coast, again, has lots of other options like that. And that's easier to register for. There's no lottery because there are so many of them, and the fields are smaller and it's a little bit less complicated. There's a couple other 1-day relays around the Pacific Northwest. There is the Gorgeous Relay, which we're recording this on the 14th of September. And that relay is actually going to happen on the 18th. It's a single day relay. It's 6 runners. And you run from Hood River into Portland. And I've never done it, but I know people who've done it, and everybody talks about how great it is. And the official description on the website talks about running the alley of waterfalls through the gorge back into Portland. So, and I've done a couple of waterfall runs. I've done the Silver Falls half marathon, and there's nothing like running through, behind, around, over a series of waterfalls. So that's a relay that's been really interesting to me. It's on my radar maybe for next year. And again, depending on how much you want to challenge yourself, you know, there are 1-day relays that are, you know, a little less intense, like some of the Hood to Coast options. But then there's the Ragnar relays, which are all over the country. And there are several of those in the Pacific Northwest. And they have a shorter option and a longer option, but they are, you know, they're trails, they're on terrain. One of them, you run up Mount Bachelor. They have one where you run Mount Rainier. I have some friends who have done those, and the pictures are amazing. That's pretty intense. You're on some narrow trails, but the views are pretty spectacular. And then the other one that is in Oregon that is always on my radar is the Cascade Lakes Relay that takes place out near Bend. I've had a couple of friends ask me to join their team, and I've said no so far because that's it's at the beginning of August and you're running up at elevation and it's pretty hot. And my training hasn't put me in a place yet where I have felt like I could keep up with some of the very fast runners who do that relay. But that's an extremely popular one. And again, one of the things that all of these have in common is how beautiful the scenery is. And, you know, when Jamie and I have talked before about running, I always characterize myself as a sightseer. I run for sightseeing. Like, that's where I get my pleasure out of running. Like, you know, hitting a specific time, you know, setting a PR, all of that is great. But the thing that really keeps me going is like, where am I? What am I seeing? Is it someplace new, or is it someplace that I know is beautiful? And Cascade Lakes is definitely one that has some pretty amazing views out near Bend.
Yeah, Julie, I think we're very similar in that regard. Just we do it at different speeds. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, Julie, you've sold me on a lot of these relays. And honestly, it's something that I would like kind of be into, I think, if my knees didn't hate me tremendously. So I think in the meantime, I will just live vicariously through you.
But like I said, even some of the more difficult relays often have a walking option. So, you know, if you're somebody who likes to trek, but maybe your knees or your back or whatever aren't up to, you know, running, you know, up that distance or up that elevation, there's always the option to walk. And the walkers in the relays I've done seem like they're having the best time. So even if you're not a runner, there's a spot for you.
Good to know.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us all about this and possibly inspiring at least one of us to go out there and try it. Thanks again, and good luck on all your running adventures.
Thanks.
Well, Vicky, what do you think? You going to give it a try, or is it going to just be vicarious living, or?
I don't think Hood to Coast will be in my wheelhouse. However, you know, something like the alleyway of waterfalls sounds so nice. I would walk through an alleyway of waterfalls.
Sure.
That sounds lovely. Why not? But yeah, I think more on the walking route. The running, I'm not a long distance runner. I can run like a mile. That's pretty much it.
I will say, on the day of Hood to Coast, on that Saturday, I drove up Mount Hood just for non-Hood to Coast reasons, mm-hmm. and passed by a lot of the relay itself and saw just, you know, hundreds of runners all kind of spread out. And there were people who were like gazelles out there, and there were people who were straight up just like walking or who were just kind of jogging very slowly. It was really the whole spectrum of running. And I thought that was pretty cool to see, like, because I think when I think about this, I think in my head, like, oh, these are all like peak athletes. They're people who like know what they're doing and they're out there and they're like in their prime. And I love to see just like regular folks out there just participating. That was really, I think, eye-opening for me.
Totally. Yeah. I think when I first, even just hearing Hood to Coast in my mind for the first time, not knowing that it was a relay, I was like, immediately, I was like, oh, these are ultra runners. I didn't realize that it's like, right. it's more digestible segments and legs of the race. So that is nice to know. And nice to know that not everyone there is some like crazy peak endurance athlete or something like that.
Well, again, if anyone is interested in participating or just wants to learn more information, like we said earlier, the website is hood2coast.com. They've got all kinds of information there. But for now, I think we should wrap things up. So folks, until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonians YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and are interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicky Connor, alongside Jamie Hale and Andrew Thien.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.